Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous shir, the Gemara had made a distinction of when someone sells something to someone else, if the individual who sold it was a ayil of a nafki azuzi, it was obvious that the seller needs the money, and that was the basis of why he sold the item. It's not considered sold unless he received the entire payment, or if it was explicitly indicated that even the deposit will create a situation that the item has been sold and that the rest of the money that's owed is a loan. But without clearly indicating that that was the situation, the item still remains the seller's. On the other hand, if it's loy ka'ayil v'nafki azuzi, it isn't such a circumstance, then as soon as the deposit is given, we could assume that the item is sold. So the Gemara refers to a certain situation, a certain incident. Who gave the zovin lecham lechavrei? There was somebody who sold a donkey to someone else. Rashi explains that we're speaking about a donkey. And the Mefarshim explain, why does Rashi say we're speaking about a donkey? Because as we'll see, the Gemara refers here to a situation where there was only partial payment, actually more than partial payment, mostly payment, but there wasn't an entire payment. And if we were talking about wine, so then we could say that the buyer bought or owns in the wine equal share, an equal percentage to the amount that was paid for. But that's possible to be said by wine, because we could divide the wine, this amount still belongs to the seller, the rest belongs to the buyer. But a donkey, which cannot be divided, there we have the question that the Gemara will now discuss. And that's why Rashi explains that we're talking about a donkey. Another reason the Mefarshim give why Rashi says we're speaking about a donkey is because a wine is something that is made to sell. Somebody who sells wine is typically a wine merchant. So in that case, certainly, as soon as he receives even a down payment, we could be confident that it's completely sold. A donkey is not the same, and that's why the question comes up by a donkey. However, there are other Rishonim that look at the Gemara, the Ramban, and they look at the Gemara quite differently. They say the Gemara's question is about wine. However, if it was a donkey, there would be no question that since a donkey is not something that can be divided, the seller meant to completely sell it as soon as he got a deposit. In other words, according to the Ramban, by donkey, as soon as he got a deposit, it would be considered completely sold. It's by wine where our Gemara's question comes up. So again, says the Gemara, "Hu gavre dezavin lecham lechavre." We're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. Somebody sold a donkey to someone else, or pashle chadzuza, and the seller received tire payment minus one zuz. The ka'ayel v'nafik azuza. However, here we were referring to a situation that the person who sold it needed the money. Yosef Rav Ashi v'komayim, but Rav Ashi was looking into this question and asked, "Kegavne mai? Such circumstance." Kani or like kani, is it considered the buyer's, or do we say since he's looking for the money until he receives the entire payment, it's not yet the buyer's, even though such a small amount is only missing one zuz? Amalei Rav Matcha Rav Ashi, an answer: Hachi Amar Avimi Megruni Mishmei Derava Zuzi Kazuzi Dami Like Kani. It makes no difference if how much money is outstanding. If there's any money outstanding, it's not considered the buyer's yet. Amalei Rav Acha B'Rei D'Rabbi Yosef Rav Ashi V'Amrina Mishmei the Rav V'Kani. We learned in the name of Ravi that in such a situation there is a kinyan, even if the seller is desperate for the money. Amalei, he responded to Targum Shmatzach, where did Rav say that even in a circumstance that the seller is anxious to sell what he's selling, is the sale considered final? But Maicha Sadeu, where somebody sold his property with Nei Rasa because of its poor quality. In such a situation where the seller is selling inferior quality property, even though he's anxious to receive the money. He's concerned that the buyer should not back out of the deal when he realizes that this is inferior quality property, and therefore the sale is valid under all circumstances, even if he wasn't paid at all. And from here, the Paiskim want to extrapolate it that the buyer obviously cannot back out of this deal, because if the buyer could back out of the deal, then the halacha would be that what are we accomplishing by saying that the sale is filed. The Paiskim give other examples where it's obvious that the person who's selling means to make the sale final, even if he needs money very desperately. One example that the Torah quotes Durma is somebody's moving to another city and he sells property in this city. There we could again assume that even if it's not inferior quality property, he's anxious to sell the property because he doesn't want to own property in a city where he's not living. The Divrei Malkiel says the same could be said regarding chametz before Pesach. Chametz before Pesach, certainly the person who's selling it is anxious to sell the chametz because he doesn't want to own chametz chas v'shalom on Pesach, and therefore there too we could safely assume that it's no matter what the situation is, the sale is considered a final sale. Says the Gemara, pshita. It's also obvious. If somebody had a property that was worth $100 and he needed $100, so he tried to sell that property. However, he didn't find anybody who was willing to buy that property. So he sold a piece of property that's worth $200. And this is a situation that the seller needs money, like honey. The buyer is not considered the owner until he pays in full. And as Mefarshim explained, what is the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us the following Chiddush, that even though the person who sold the property, he needed $100, and he taka tried to sell a piece of property that was worth $100, albeit unsuccessfully, so now he sold a piece of property that's worth $200. And he has and he got paid, let's say, from the buyer a deposit of $100. So the $100 that cash that he was so anxious to have, he has received. And maybe we should therefore think that the other $100 he's not considered a nafik v'ayel azuzi, and therefore, as soon as the buyer gave him $100, the sale could be considered finalized. That's why the Gemara teaches us we don't look at it that way. Rather, we say that since this is an individual clearly in the category of Nafik V'Ayla Zuzi, he's not considered sold, it's not considered the buyer's property until the seller gets the whole $200. Ella, the question is, if he wanted to sell the property for $100 and he didn't find a customer for it. However, Vitarach, if he really would have looked, have a mashkach, he would have found the customer for that property. But instead of working hard, loy tarach, he didn't want to work hard to look for such a customer, but rather, v'zovim b'masayim, he sold a piece of property for $200. The call of Nafi Azuzi, and he needs the money. Mai, how do we look at this individual? Do we say that he's like an individual who sold a piece of property of pure quality, that we said before that there the sale is always final? And here too we should assume that this individual falls into that category, given that he could have sold the $100 property, but he didn't sell the $100 property. It must be because he doesn't really like that piece of property, and therefore the sale should be considered final. Or we don't look at him that way, and we say it was difficult, so he sold it, but not because they want to get rid of it. So Gemara says, Teiku, it's such a situation, we remain with a Teiku, and the Ritva quotes the Ravid, who says, since it's a teiku, and we did have some sort of opinion being done by the buyer here, so that's why it's considered that it should remain by the buyer. Says the Gemara, Socher Hamar V'Sakadr, the Mishnah spoke about a situation where somebody hired a worker, and it's a dover of it, that the job has to get done in a certain time. If it won't get done by then, it's going to be an irretrievable loss. So the Mishnah said, Soichaleim, he could hire other workers to replace these workers, or Maton, he could deceive them. And Maton, the Gemara already explained what it means. Now the Gemara focuses on the Soichaleim. At Kama Soichaleim, how much could he hire, how much could he pay the other workers that he uses to replace these workers? Amrav Nachman, at Ktei Scharon, up to the amount of their wages. And we have a very big machloikus Rishonim, what does at Ktei Scharon mean? Rashi explains that it means that if the first workers were obviously not paid in full, because we still owe them for some of what they've done, they forfeit their wages for anything that they've done already. That's how Rashi learns. The problem with that pshat is, obviously, that so is the din, according to Abdaisa, we learned in the previous year, that according to Abdaisa, that Yad Poyel al Tachtoina, so who did not cause a dover of it, we said Yad Poyel al Tachtoina, and as the Gemara explained, let's say I hired a worker for 2 slaim, and he finished half the job, but it's going to cost me more to find workers to finish the job. We take it out of the salary of the first workers. So according to Rashi's Pshat, what is the difference between a Dover Ovid and a Dover Shein Ovid? So the Mefarshim explained, the difference is how much you have to look for other workers that won't charge extra. Buy a Dover Ovid, where there's an irretrievable loss on the line, there the halacha is that we have to pay, we look for other workers immediately, even if it means taking away from the original workers. On the other hand, where it's not a dover ha'ovid, there we should look for cheaper workers, not to have to spend the money of the original workers should lose from their income. However, because of this pshat, Tosfos and other Rishonim say that the workers have to pay double their salary. The original workers not only lose whatever they might have earned, but we could take up to double their salary to pay for new workers. May say Rav Nachman, whatever pshat of the Rishonim we learn, whether it means they only forfeit the wages of what they've done, or even if we're going to take double, we learned in a brisa that if it's a dover ovid, we take araboim v'chamishim zuz, up to 40 or 50 zuz. Nobody got that much more than the salary that they're losing, or even double the salary. Amalei kitanya hi shabasa chavil b'yodai. That's referring to a situation where the workers brought their tools. And here too, we have a machlokes Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. Rashi explains what the Gemara means to say is that if the original workers brought their tools, their halacha will be that we could use those tools to pay the debt, to pay the new workers. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, and other Rishonim learned the Gemara differently, that it was typical for an employer to be concerned that an employee may back out on him and leave him in a lurch, and therefore, because of that, they used to be careful. They used to require that the original workers should leave a mashkin by the employer, that in case they back out, he could take that mashkin to use to pay the new workers, if as much as it'll cost him to pay those new workers. And the Chiddush explains Tosfos is, if they left, because the question is if they left the mashkin on that basis, certainly we could take it. So the chiddush is because it's in a smach, we would think it's in a smachta that they're leaving that the money because of a, because of such a concern, and a smachta like Tanya, that's why we have to teach us that he could take out, that it's not considered a smachta, and he could take out wages for the new workers from that chavila that was left as a mashkin. Other mefarshim explain that the chiddush of the Gemara is that even though they left it as a mashkin, we would perhaps think that how much could they take out of the mashkin? Only as much as they were willing to get paid. But to start paying the new workers very high wages, that should not be mutter, kamash malan, that the chavila could be used to pay the new workers even high wages. And here too we have a machloikus rishonim. When the Gemara says, Aborim v'chamishim zuz, how do we understand the Gemara? Does the Gemara just say 40, 50 zuz, but it could mean whatever number it take, whatever number it is? Or does the Gemara mean, Aborim v'chamishim zuz, does the Gemara mean, dafka Aborim v'chamisha, not anymore? Because that's certainly, any more than that would be way too much to pay the new workers. Says the Mishnah. Hasachas chamor l'alicha bahar. If somebody rented a donkey to lead it on a mountain for alicha b'bika, and he took it in a valley instead of the mountain, or b'bika, his intent was to take it in a valley for alicha bahar, and he ended up taking it up a mountain. The halacha is afilu asamilin, afilu zu asamilin. Even if both routes are the same distance, 10 mil, the halacha is, says the Mishnah, Umesa, if the animal dies, Chayiv, the renter is responsible. Certainly the Rishonim point out that this is the dinim of our Mishnah only in a case where the renter and the owner expressly spoke out to each other where the animal will and won't be taken. If it's not expressly made up that way, then wherever he takes the animal is acceptable. Furthermore, the Tosfos points out that the Mishnah speaks about a case speaking about both routes were equal. Says Tosfos, it doesn't make a difference. In other words, says Tosfos, let's say I rented the animal on the condition that I'll carry it, that I'll lead it up a mountain, and then I lead it in a valley, and the mountain I said I would take it for 10 mil, and in the valley I only take it for 5 mil. So even though this is so much less, it's half the distance, still, since the stipulation was I'm taking it on a mountain, not on a valley, I will be chayiv. And then when the Mishnah says chayiv, there's also another interesting machlokes rishonim. That is, why would be the din? Let's say it was rented on Sunday, and the animal actually died on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, the Mishnah clearly paskins, umesa, if the animal dies on Tuesday, chayiv, the renter is chayiv. What would be the din, ask the Rishonim, on Tuesday? Do I have to pay a rental fee from Sunday to Tuesday? Because until then it was a regular rental situation. Or do we say that since ultimately the animal died, and I became responsible for the entire valuable, for the entire value of the animal, that supersedes any of the responsibility I have to pay any rental fee. Continues the Mishnah, Hasoicher es hachamol alich bahar. If somebody rented a donkey with the intention of taking it up a mountain for alich b'bika, and instead he took it on the valley, so the halach is as follows: imechlika, if the animal slipped and therefore was killed or died, potter, the renter is potter, because it's more slippery on a mountain than it is in a valley. So if I'm potter, if I was allowed to take it on a mountain, I certainly will not be held responsible if I carried it in the valley. However, if the animal died because chukma, if it got overheated, there I'll be chayif, because it's hotter in the valley than it is in the mountain. L'alicha b'bika, if he tended to take it up, if he rented it that he's going to take it in the valley for alicha b'bahar, and he ended up taking it up on a mountain, then the halacha is just the opposite. Im echlika, if the animal died because it slipped, then he's chayiv, because it's more slippery on a mountain than it is on a valley. But if the animal died because it was affected by heat, then he'll be potter. Because it's cooler on a mountain than it is on a valley. If the animal died because it climbing up the mountain was strenuous and that's what killed it, then again the rental will be chayiv. And Tosfos asks, how do we know that that was the reason that it died? How do we know if it died because it went up the mountain or died because of the heat on top of the mountain? So Tosfos says, if we see that when the animal climbed up the mountain, it went up without any great strain, and furthermore it went on the mountain for a while without perspiring, and afterwards it gets hot and dies, so it's obvious that it did not die because of the going up the mountain, and therefore he will not be chayiv. The Mefarshim ask, why even in a situation where he took it, let's say, to the bicker, and where he took it to the bicker instead of the mountain, and it slipped, do we say that it's potter? Why, asked Achroinim, is this not considered shlichus yad? There was a clear condition under which he was renting the animal, and if those conditions weren't fulfilled, he ought to be responsible. So the Agudas Ezef, based on the Ramban, says a very fundamental answer. We're going to learn later in our Perek Amitz Hashem that a shoyl is chayiv in all types of responsibility. The only thing that a shoyl is not chayiv is a meisa machmas melacha. And the question is, if a shoyl is held to such a high standard, why is he not also chayiv by meisa machmas melacha? Says the Ramban, if I borrow an animal to do melacha with it, and it's so defective that it can't do the melacha that it was borrowed for or rented for, then it's a defective animal, and I, the borrower, I, the renter, I'm not going to be chayiv, even though I didn't follow the conditions of the deal. Similarly, says the Agudas Ezef in our case, yes, he was supposed to take it on a mountain. He wasn't supposed to take it in the bicker. But if the animal walking in the bicker, which is less slippery than the mountain, slipped and died, it's obvious that this is a defective animal, and therefore the renter should not be held responsible. The Nesivus gives a different answer. He says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if I take without permission an animal of somebody, which this animal is made for renting, but I intended to take it and pay for its rental, even though I'd never entered into a formal relationship with the renter, it's not considered that I'm a gazlan. Since here too, we're obviously dealing with an animal that's up for rental, because that's the animal that we're talking about. It was the animal that was for renting. So the fact that I didn't speak out that I'm going to take it in the bicker, if I didn't mistreat the animal, I should not be chayiv. Says the Mishnah further, and we're not going to go into great detail in explaining the case of the Mishnah here, because we're going to explain it in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. Hasachas achamav avrika, if somebody rented a donkey and it becomes blind, or shenasas angaria, or was taken away by the government for their use, oimaloi, the owner could tell the renter, harei shachalafanecha. However, a mace or nizbra, if the animal died or was captured or its foot broke and it can no longer walk, there chayv l'hamad l'chamor, he has to replace the animal. Says the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, asked the Gemara the obvious question, why in the Reisha does the Mishnah say the Mishnah doesn't make a difference, d'loy k'maflik, the Mishnah doesn't make any differences, if I and didn't follow the terms of the rental agreement, I'm going to be chayiv. Maishna Sefer, the Kamaflig, that the Mishnah starts making all of these distinctions. Answers the Gemara, Amri de Bei Reb Yanai, Reisha, the Reisha is referring to a situation, Shemaisa Machmas Avir, that the animal died because it was air that it was unaccustomed to. That meaning, therefore we say, Avir the Har Kotla, it was the air that was on the mountain that killed it, or Amin Avir the Bikit Kotla, it was the air that the animal was not used to in the valley that killed the animal. And we have a Machlokes Rishonim, what is the situation here? Dvitva says that even if we have no proof that the ear was different that day, or that the ear is ear that the animal is unaccustomed to, just this concern is enough to make the renter liable. Tosfos and the Rosh says that it's only in a situation that we know that the ear on the mountain or on the valley that day were particularly difficult ear quality, and that's why the animal dried. Dritva is even, otherwise we say, Amoch Mechaver Oliver Raya. Dritva's opinion is even more stringent. He says only, it's more in the benefit of the renter. Only we know for sure that this animal is not able to withstand the difficult ear, then and only then are we going to be momach. Are we going to force the renter to pay? It's referring to a situation where the animal died because of exhaustion. In other words, when the renter took the animal up on top of the mountain, that the animal died because it got exhausted from going up the mountain, or was taken to the valley, we could say that the animal died because of the heat. Rav Amar, Kigon Shekish Anachash. It's referring to a situation where it was bitten by a snake. If it was bitten by a snake, the question Tosfos immediately asks is, just like it could have gotten bitten on a mountain, it could have gotten bitten on the valley, or vice versa. So Tosfos answers that Al Gemara is going according to the Mandam that holds, Tchilos b'pshia v'soif b'oynis is chayiv. Or, another text that the Rishonim say is that snakes were more prevalent in the area where I wasn't supposed to take the animal, and that's why I'm going to be chayif. Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Homani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Remeihi. Domer kol amava dasha balabais, whoever doesn't follow what the balabais told him, nikra gazlan. And therefore, in our case, since he didn't follow the rules that he was supposed to follow, he's considered a gazlan. Ask the Gemara, hey Remeir, where do we find this opinion of Remeir? Ilei Remeir the Tzava, the din of Remeir that we've quoted many times from Masech Baba Kama, Kufa Mebeis, the Mishnah, where we have the following machloikis. The Tanan, Hanois and Tzava L'Tzava L'Tzava Loi Edom. If somebody gave wool to a dyer to dye the wool red, the Tzava Shachar, and he didn't follow instructions, and he dyed it black, or vice versa. Chachar v'tzava edoim. Remeir oimer noisnei demei tzamrei. Remeir says that the dyer has to replace the value of the wool, because the dyer is considered a gazlan. The kol ha-gazlonim mishalmim kishas ha-gzela. They have to pay according to what it was worth at the time of the gzela. The time of the gzela is when I gave the wool to this dyer. Yudaimer, imeshvech yosel yitzia. If the value of the wool is worth more than the expense of dyeing the wool, nice and nice yitzia, he has to pay, the owner of the wool has to pay him the value of the expense in dyeing it. If the cost of dyeing it was more than the improvement, nice and nice shvach, he only has to give the value of the improvement. So we see that according to Remeir, if somebody doesn't follow instructions, nikra gazlan. Ask the Gemara Mamai, why do we say that that's the raya? The Mashani Hasam, there it's different. The Kanya Bishini Maisa. There was a Shini Maisa involved where he did something. That's why Remeir considers him a gazlan. But because he intended, since the dyer did something in the wool itself that wasn't authorized, that's why he's considered a gazlan. In our case, he didn't change anything in the donkey itself. He just took it to a different area. And therefore, he will not necessarily be considered a gazlan. says the Gemara, Ella ha Rameya. The Rameya, where do we find Rameya's opinion of Mishanah B'das Balim is Nikra Gazlin? From the din of Purim. The Tanya, Megravis Purim LePurim. Money collected to distribute on Purim should be used strictly for Purim. And as Tosfos points out, even though in other areas of tzedakah, the halacha is that if money is collected for one purpose of tzedakah, it can be used for other purposes. Purim, it specifically should be used not for any other purpose. Megavis Purim LePurim. Megavis Heir, Lai Seir. If money is collected for Purim needs for the aniyim of one city, they should not be used for the aniyim of another city. Ve'ein medagdik medover. Ve'ein medagdik medover, the number pshatim. Rashi explains, people, if a lot of money was collected on Purim, the gaboyim should not go and say, we don't need so much money for Purim. We'll put it away to have in the fund. It should all be distributed on Purim. Another pshat that I saw is that we spend a lot. We buy a lot, and we're not worried that we may have left over. And the last pshat is, like we know, the halacha is on Purim, kol ha-poshed yad noisn loy. And on Purim, the halacha is that we don't start thinking who is this person worthy of receiving stock or not. We should buy calves, so we should check and eat those calves. If there's leftovers, the leftovers will go to tztaka. The Michas Alaza says, from here we see that there's a halacha that on Purim we should eat meat. And in fact, because you see that we buy a golem, we buy meat with the stock of funds. Furthermore, I saw from the Sharm Tsharm Balocha, says we know that when a woman is supposed to go to the mikveh that night, she's not supposed to eat meat. Sudas Purim, if a woman is supposed to go to the mikveh on the night of Purim, she still may eat meat at the Sudas Purim. Avashloichim is a golem, v'shoich to v'oichlan, so we should, the poor people should eat that. V'meiser, if there's leftover, yipel kishel tztaka. Rabbi Lezer goes even as Tosfos explains a step further. And he says, Megavis Purim LePurim, that the money that's collected for Purim should be used for Purim. V'einu ishoi likach men ritzul sandloi. And as Tosfos explains, the Tanakama was speaking to the Gabbai Tztaka. And he was saying that the Gabbai Tztaka that collected money for Purim has to distribute the money on Purim. Here, says Tosfos, Rabbi Elazar is going a step further. He's talking to the Ani that received money on Purim. The halacha is that he has to use that money strictly for Purim use, and he shouldn't use it for anything else. He shouldn't buy any Ani Rishoy Likach Mehem Ritzua Lasandla. He shouldn't even buy a shoelace if he needs it. Elm came hisna ba'amin an she'ir, unless that was clearly stipulated when he received the money. Dir Rav Yaakov Shom Mishim Rameya. This is Rameya's opinion. So he's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Mekel. So again, what do we see from here? That Rameya's opinion is that Megavas Purim LePurim. That if money was collected for a certain purpose, you may not deviate. Says the Gemara, there's no Rai again. Dilma Hasam Nami, there it's referring to a situation that adopted the Purim Hu Diyav law. The people who are donating the money are giving it specifically for Purim need. Adopted the Mechrina Layav law. It wasn't given for any other purposes, and therefore it can't be used for any other purpose. And the Shem Shmuel says, why do we treat Purim differently? Because Purim had a double nace in it. Number one, that Klal Yisrael had the Gevaldige Yeshua on Purim. And besides that Klal Yisrael had the Gevaldige Yeshua, furthermore, the Klal Yisrael was able to prevail over their enemies. And therefore, since Purim comes with these Gevaldige Nisim, we treat Purim differently than all other situations. Ella, says the Gemara, Harameya. The opinion that we discuss, this din of where we see the Rameya says that you're not allowed to deviate from the instructions that if you deviate, you're a gazlan, is this Rameya. The Tanya of Shimon Allah Zoim Mashim Rameya. Hanoisa Dina Ani Likach Lechalok. If somebody gives a dinner for a poor person to buy himself a shirt, Likach by a talus, he shouldn't buy a talus, he shouldn't buy a jacket with it. Talus, if you gave him money to buy a jacket, Likach Bechalok, he shouldn't buy a shirt. Mnei Shemaver Adata Shabalabais. Because he's deviating from his instructions. Again, ask the Gemara. V'dim l'shani hosam. Perhaps there, it's the concern is darsil mechshadei, that people will come accuse the donor of not fulfilling his obligation. Dami inchi amri plani zvina loy levush leplani anya. This and this person said he's going to buy this and this garment for the poor person. V'loy zovenlei, and he didn't buy what he promised. Inami. He said, Zavina le glima, I'm going to buy him a jacket, the lights oven light, and he didn't fulfill what he promised. And therefore we can't use that, therefore the issue there is not because maver adas bal bais because of deviation, rather the reason is because of chshad. Answers the Gemara, im kain, if that were the concern, listen, so the Mishnah should have said that the issue is Rivnei chshad. Why didn't the Mishnah, why did it say, my Rivnei Shemav Adata Shabalabayas? Shemami no. To here we see that according to Meir, Mishum Deshanihu, he deviated from what was agreed upon, and Rameya's opinion is, the Kalamav Adata Shabalabayas, Nikra Gazlan. And the Paiskim discuss, based on this Gemara, how if somebody gives money to a poor person for a specific purpose, how the poor person is not allowed to change that money for any other purposes, up to the degree that I saw that if somebody gave money to a poor person to buy food for Shabbos and Yontif, the halacha is that the poor person can't use it to buy food for during the week, because the instructions that are given are critical. There is a shaila that I saw that, let's say somebody collected money because the poor person doesn't have the ability to marry off his children, doesn't have the funds to marry off his children. Can he deviate and use the money to marry? It was collected for one child. Could the money be used for a different child's marriage? Hasaychus chamov evrika. If somebody rented a donkey and the animal became blind, evrika. Ask my mai evrika. What is the definition of evrika? Amar hachatagima. So the Gemara answers, in Bavel they explained it means nohoraisa, the animal lost part of its vision. Rav Amar avzekis, that the animal legs get weak, they deteriorate because they're affected by worms. Says the Gemara, Haluda Amalhu, there was somebody said to the king's officers, avzekis b'milsel d'malka, I saw moths eating the king's garments. Amale. So the officers asked him, B'mai, B'tlei kesev, or B'dalhai dahav? Did they eat it? Did you see it in the silver clothing, which means linen clothing, which looked like silver, or gold garments, wool garments that were dyed red? Ikad amri. Some say B'tlei kesev amar. He said that he saw it in the linen clothing, V'ketlua. And they killed the person who said this. Why? Because moths do not eat, this is Rashi's pshat, moths do not eat linen garments. Ikad amri betlei dahav amar, when he said it was the woolen clothing, that was believable for Shafkua, and they let him. Dritva gives a different explanation. And he said as follows, if the man said that the moths ate the linen garments, it was obvious that the watchman of the garment was negligent, because this is not normal to happen, and it could easily have been prevented, just that the watchman did not do his job properly. If, on the other hand, it was eating wool clothing, that's impossible for even a good watchman to properly watch, and therefore he was left to go. We learned in the Mishnah, Oishanasis and Garia, if the animal was taken into service of the king, Aymalai, he could say to him, Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. Amarav, Lai Shana Elbangaya Chazaras. It's only a reverse situation where the animal was taken, but it will be returned. Aval and Garish and Echazeres, if the animal will not be returned, Chayv Lahamed Lechamor, then the owner has to replace the donkey. Shmuel Amar, Ben and Garish Echazeres, Ben and Garish and Echazeres, that is not the factor. What is the fact according to Shmuel? In B'derech Halicha Nitla, if it was taken in the direction of the journey of the renter, Oymaloi, the owner could say, Haresha Cholofa Necha, then La B'derech Halicha Nitla, Chayv La'almoid L'chamoy, has to replace it. So there's a Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand what Shmuel is saying. Rashi explains that the way it used to work was that the king's, the government's agents would take the animals as they were walking until they found another animal. And then they, when they found a new animal, they would give back the first animal and take the second animal. So therefore, according to Shmuel, if the renter is walking in the same direction as the government agents, so he's going to get back his animal shortly when they find a new animal. And therefore, he's not held, the owner does not have to replace the original animal. But if he's not walking in that direction, so then it's a real loss to him, and they have to give him a new animal. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos is not satisfied with Rashi's pshat, and therefore Tosfos learns the pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel, who explains as follows. If the animal was found in the street, and the government agents took it off the street, so there the landlord could tell the renter, the owner could tell the renter, Reshul Chalafanecha, you took it to a place where it was caught by these agents. On the other hand, if it was found, if we went into the house of the renter, so there the renter is certainly not at fault, and there the owner would have to replace it. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, if somebody rented a donkey and it became partially blind or it became crazy, if the animal died or was taken by the government, Chayv Lamed Lechamor, has to replace it. Bishlam L'Rav L'Kasha, this that the Braisa says that you have to replace it, Kamba Gary Chazeres, is refer Kamba Gary Shene Chazeres. If the government will give it back, you don't have to replace it. If they won't give it back, you have to replace it. El Shmuel, that doesn't make this differentiation, Kasha. Says the Gemara, obviously, V'chi Tema L'Shmuel Nam L'Kasha, will have a way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa, even according to Shmuel, Kanch B'derech HaLichasa Nitla, you don't have to replace it. Kanch Lo B'derech HaLichasa Nitla, where it does have to be replaced. Ask the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Seifa, since as we continue learning the Braisa, the Braisa says, Rav Shimon B'lo Yizomer, Im B'derech HaLichasa Nitla, if it was taken, B'derech HaLichasa, then the owner could say, Harei Shachol Afanecha. Vimlav, Chayv Lahamad Loi Chamor, Meklal Tanakam Loi Shonalei. And the Gemara in the Hamina wants that Shmuel should be consistent with the opinion of the Tanakama. Amalach Shmuel, respond Shmuel, Mi'ami Iker of Shimon bin Elazar, the Kaikava, say, I, and not Amik of Shimon bin Elazar. Shmuel will have to say that his opinion is going according to Shimon bin Elazar. Ibai Seima, Kula of Shimon Elazahi. The entire Braisa reflects the opinion of Shimon Elazar. There's no machloikis in the Braisa. V'chasuri mechsir v'achtani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Hasoiches chamav avrikoi nishtatis. Oimaloi hareishal cholofanecho. Meisa shenasis and garya. Chayv lam aloi chamoy. You have to replace it. V'met v'amamurim. Shloi b'derech elchasa nitlo. Avel nitlo b'derech elchasoi. Oimaloi then the owner could tell him. Hareishal cholofanecho. This is all the opinion of Shimon Elazar. Shimon Elazar would say, "In b'derech lichucha nitla, if it was taken b'derech alicha, I'm like the owner could say, Haresh alchalafanecha, v'mlav chayv lacham alaychamar, he has to replace it." Ask the Gemara. How can we say that the entire Brice is following the opinion of Shimon Elazar? The Tani Reish, the beginning of the Braisa said, "Hasoiches chamav avrikoi shenishtatato." If somebody rents a donkey and it becomes partially blind or shaita, oimalai reishal chalafanecha. Vila of Shimon Elazar's opinion is, "Hasoiches chamav lirkavareh avrikoi shenishtatato chayv lamalai chamav." That if the animal becomes partially blind or demented, you have to replace it. So we see that that Braisa cannot be following the opinion of Shimon Elazar. Where does Rav Shimon say that Havrika and Shtata, it has to be replaced? There it's Lirkavale, when it was taken to ride on. So Havrika is a fatal flaw when it's being used to ride on, and therefore it has to be replaced. If it's only, however, being used to transport items, there it's not so terrible, and he could say Resha Cholofanecha. Amra Papa and Kamitzra Papa, Uklis Chuchis, if you use the animal to transport, but it's transporting glassware, it's Kalich of Ladami, it's like used to be ridden upon, because these items are so fragile. And like the Paiskim say, any item which is fragile, the halacha is that if, even if the animal becomes a vrika or nishtata, the owner has to replace it.